babe. Say, how about a little kick? Ouch.
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie picture. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer.
Like the fellow just said, Maisie Revere. A long time ago, I entered an amateur contest because I wanted to go in show business. I remember I did an acrobatic act where I kicked the back of my head. I guess I kicked it a little too hard because ever since that, I've been in show business. Anyway, this morning, my agent called me from the phone booth, which is his office. It seems that some rich society matron was giving a big banquet out in her mansion in upstate New York. And she needed an act, so I was hired. The banquet isn't set until 10 tonight, but I decided to start out early because traveling schedules are so uncertain these days, especially when you're hitchhiking. So when I finally arrived in the town where Mrs. Hargraves lives and struggled a few miles up the private road that leads to this oversized country club she calls home, I was so tired I had to back up and take a running start to press the doorbell.
You?
Oh, good afternoon, honey. I'm Maisie Revere. Max sent me.
Max?
Max Howard.
Oh, the theatrical agent.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, I'd like to see Mrs. Hargraves.
I am she.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't think you rich dames ever did your own door opening.
Disgusting, isn't it, my dear?
Yes. Yeah.
But you probably know the inferior caliber of servants one gets nowadays.
Oh, yes. Aren't they just too lousy? Mrs. Hargraves, just how much do I get for my performance tonight? Max forgot to mention the money.
Money? Miss Revere, tonight's affair is a benefit.
No wonder he forgot to mention it.
Yes, my dear. You see, I am extending the use of my home to raise funds for my favorite charity.
Oh, what is it? To build a home for destitute polo players?
Hardly, my dear. We intend to use the proceeds to enlarge the facilities of our local orphanage.
Orphanage?
Yes, Miss Revere.
Oh.
There are just oodles of unfortunates in the world who don't know where their next meal is coming from.
You ain't kidding. Okay, honey, you can include me in.
Oh, then you will perform tonight. That's very kind of you, Miss Revere.
Well, you're the one who's very kind, Mrs. Hargraves. Not many people in your circumstances would knock themselves out for a lot of unhappy kids who came into the world with two strikes on them. This town should remember and appreciate what you're doing, Mrs. Hargraves.
Yes, so my publicity agent assured me.
Oh, you have a publicity agent for your charities, huh?
The best money can buy, my dear. He even arranged to have Senator Hungerford fly down from Washington to be our guest speaker. The senator just returned from Europe, you know.
Didn't know. Sounds like it's going to be a million laughs.
Yes. And my publicity agent was the one who thought up the bizarre idea of having the children of the orphanage wait on the tables. The older ones, naturally.
Oh, naturally. The toddling ones couldn't hold as much on the trays.
Oh, Mrs. Hargraves, I got a message. Oh. Pardon me, I didn't know you had company.
Oh, do come in, Jerry. Miss Revere, this is Jerry something or other. He's one of our dear orphans. Jerry, this is Miss Revere.
Oh, how do you do?
Well, one of the older boys, no doubt. Hi, Jerry.
Wow.
What are you doing in here, boy? You should be in the banquet room with the rest of the waiters, rehearsing your serve from the left, remove from the right.
Oh, yeah, but I'm sorry, Mr. Hargraves, but I just came in to give you a telephone message. Senator Hungerford just phoned. He ran out of gas.
Ran out of gas?
Mm-hmm.
You mean he don't even have enough left to make a speech tonight?
His private plane was forced down out in Carterville someplace. No fuel.
Oh, but this is but awful. Now I have to call off the banquet.
Jerry, This is an emergency. Can't you think of somebody who could start things off with a nice fat donation?
Oh, well, let's see. There's Ben Gibbs.
The junk dealer?
Yeah, he made millions.
Yeah, that's a lot of junk.
I don't like junk.
Mr. Gibbs is sweet on you, Mrs. Hargraves.
See, he likes junk.
What?
Well, we got to have somebody make a speech, Mrs. Hargraves, to start the ball rolling.
Oh, I wonder if we could possibly persuade Elias Edwards.
The president of the bank?
Yes, I've never been introduced formally to Mr. Edwards. But, he's so handsome and so single.
Oh, he's a stuffed shirt.
Yeah, but Mrs. Hargraves likes what it's stuffed with. Well, what do you say, Mrs. Hargraves? How's about calling this Mr. Edwards and asking him to speech the guests into loosening up their money belts?
Oh, why, I couldn't possibly approach a man I've never been introduced to, Miss Revere.
Yeah, I guess it's no use, Miss Revere. Mr. Edwards is pretty unapproachable.
Not for me, he ain't. I'll talk to Mr. Edwards.
Oh, wonderful. Miss Revere, you can appreciate my position. After all, a woman like myself does have her dignity.
Well, a woman like me don't. My dignity was removed years ago with my tonsils. But, Mr. Edwards, don't you understand? I don't want you to do much. Just make one crummy speech, and I'm sure you're just the man that can do it.
Well, thank you so much for your confidence, Miss Revere, but I can't do it tonight. I'm leaving in a few minutes for California. The trout are biting like crazy, they tell me.
With the kind of heart you've got, you'd probably bite back. Mr. Edwards, since when are fish more important than people?
Mr. Edwards,
what is it, Wilkins?
I have all your fishing gear packed, sir, but I can't close the suitcase. I tried sitting on it, sir.
Well, I've got to have that thing locked and ready. My train leaves in 20 minutes. I'll go in and we'll both sit on it, Wilkins.
Yeah, two heads are better than one.
I'm awfully sorry, Miss Revere, but, I guess I've got fish in my blood.
Really? Are they swimming upstream or downstream?
Oh, that's very good.
Wilkins?
I don't really get it, sir.
Mr. Edwards, what's the biggest fish you ever caught?
Oh, about 25 pounds.
Well, how would you like to land one that weighs in the neighborhood of 160?
Would I? Gosh, that'd look wonderful mounted on the wall over my mantelpiece.
That I gotta say.
Of course, I don't have the equipment to land anything like that.
Well, Mrs. Hargraves thinks you have. She thinks you're the handsomest, most intelligent, most brilliant man that ever spoke at a charity banquet.
Hey, look, I can't speak in any better. Ooh, she does.
Uh-huh. She's the most attractive widow in town.
Yeah, I hear that she's worth millions. That's interesting. I'll have to meet this Mrs. Hargraves.
Well, swell.
Right after I get back from my fishing trip.
All right for you, Mr. Edwards. I'll get Ben Gibbs to be the guest speaker.
Old junk man Gibbs make a speech? Why, that ignoramus can't even write his name.
Maybe not, but he can make other people write their names on checks, I hope. Goodbye, Mr. Edwards, and I hope you get knots in your lines.
How can a person get so angry over nothing? Mrs. Hargraves, Oh, Wilkins.
You called, sir?
Wilkins, have you ever seen a woman called Mrs. Hargraves? She's new to our community, I believe.
Oh, yes, sir. She's the frankly wealthy widowed lady who resides in that huge estate on Spruce Street.
You mean the one with the huge veranda?
Yes, sir. That's Mrs. Hargraves.
She's quite charming, however, I've been told. She's unmarried, of course.
Oh, yes, sir. Three times, I believe. And gossip has it that each one of her husbands left her, if you'll pardon the expression, sir, loaded.
Yes, quite charming. Too bad the lady has to depend on Ben Gibbs as guest speaker at her big charity dinner.
Yes, sir. Shall I unpack, sir?
Yes, I'm going to make that speech tonight. Ben Gibbs has enough money already. Well, I'd better get out my copy of Ogilvy.
Ogilvy, sir?
Ogilvy's 50 speeches for any 50 occasions. There must be one in there that'll impress Mrs. Hargraves. Soften up the guest again. Get me the book, Wilkins. It's in the library. The secret panel on the third shelf.
Oh, yes, sir. I remember, sir. Where you hide your comic book, sir.
Gosh, Miss Revere, you ain't fooling about this. You want I should be guest speaker at Melissa's clambake?
That's right, Mr. Gibbs.
Yeah, Mrs. Hargraves wanted an intelligent, cultured, and educated man to make the speech.
Yeah, but we settled for you.
Gosh, this is indeed an honor.
Well, Mrs. Hargraves wasn't too happy.
Huh?
About asking you to give up your valuable time tonight.
Yeah. She realizes that you're much in demand as a speaker.
Knowing so much about junk like you do.
Oh, yeah. I made $2 million net last year. Got 5 dump yards. Yeah, nobody can even come close to Ben Gibbs.
I know. Gary, open the window, please, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it might help.
Of course, Mr. Gibbs, Mrs. Hargraves thought that it would, well, sort of start the contributions coming in if you would...
Gave the first one, say, 10,000.
10,000?
Well, Mrs. Hargraves didn't expect you to give as much as Mr. Edwards.
Why not, huh? I can buy and sell that show off any day. I'll give 20,000.
20?
You think that'll make Mrs. Hargraves see what kind of guy I am? She's real class, you know. Real class.
Yeah, and so appreciative, too, when it comes to contributions for the orphans. Gary, do you remember what Mrs. Hargraves did when Mr. Edwards gave his check in advance for, $25,000?
$25,000? Mm-hmm. Holmes, I don't remember.
But I do. She kissed him.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, she did.
Yeah.
Gosh, for a kiss, I'd have given $50,000.
That's what I hope. Now, you're going to get your chance tonight, Mr. Gibbs. You give that kind of dough and you're going to get a kiss. Even if I have to do it myself.
Yeah, now, you got any speech to start the other contributions, Mr. Gibbs?
Yeah.
Well, now, let's see. I'll say, ladies and gentlemen.
That's always a good beginning. What do you say after that?
After that, I'm stuck.
I was a little afraid of that.
Oh, say, I got a book of great speeches. It was given to me when I won the public speaking contest at the orphanage. It's called Ogilvy's 50 Speeches for 50 Occasions.
Oh, that's great, Jerry. We'll pick one out for Mr. Gibbs to memorize and use tonight.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the message I want to bring you tonight. I thank you. Applause, please, Wilkins.
Oh, yes, sir. If I may say so, sir, you did a marvelous job of memorizing it in such short order.
Yeah, when something has to be done, Wilkins, it must be done. After all, Mrs. Hargrave's money, charity, is calling for me. Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Wilkins, run down to Ben Gibbs' junkyard and tell that Miss Revere she needn't bother with Gibbs for the banquet. I have decided to be guest speaker.
Yes, sir. At once, sir.
While you're gone, I think I'll run through my speech a few more times. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Straits of Singapore to the snow-capped mountains of Alaska... From the desert sands of Arabia to the green glens of Scotland. From the...
Well, Maisie, how do you think my speech sounds?
Terrific. And it only took you 2 hours to memorize the first paragraph.
Well, those are big words. Gosh, you think Melissa and them hoity-toity guests will suspect I got this here speech fun out of a book fun out of it?
Oh, not a chance, Mr. Gibbs.
No. Now take your speech again, Mr. Gibbs, from the beginning.
Okay, now here I go. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Straits of Singapore to the snow-capped mountains of Alaska, from the desert sands of Arabia to the green glens of Scotland. From the...
Hold it, chum, hold it. Come in. Oh, hello.
Good afternoon, Miss... Mr. Edwards sent me to...
Look, we're busy right now, Buster.
Yeah, and we got a few rough spots to iron out in Mr. Gibbs' speech for tonight.
But, Miss, I...
Well, now, look, listen to this speech and see what you think. Go ahead, Mr. Gibbs.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Straits of Singapore to the snow-capped mountains of Alaska, from the desert sands of Arabia to the
green glens of Scotland.
Right. To the green glens of Scotland. Hey, how'd you guess?
You've been getting a preview at the keyhole?
Well, hardly, miss, but that is exactly the speech Mr. Edwards intends to give at the banquet tonight.
Mr. Edwards?
But he's going fishing. That's where we got stuck with, prevailed on Mr. Gibbs here to make the speech.
Yeah, everybody in this here town thinks I ain't got no brains, and tonight I'm going to show.
The reason I'm here, miss, is to inform you that Mr. Edwards has changed his plans. He telephoned Mrs. Hargreaves just an hour ago and agreed to make the speech tonight. He's going to be the first speaker.
The first speaker? He's going to give my speech before I do? Maisie, if he does, I ain't going to give no $50,000.
Uh-oh. Maisie, what are we going to do?
I don't know, Jerry. But it looks like those people are going to get awful sick of those snow-capped mountains of Alaska.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment.
Because we realize you shouldn't stay around just for a measly little banquet.
Measly, Miss Revere? This is for charity, and charity begins at home.
But we'll get along, Mr. Edwards. Ben Gibbs can make the speech.
In my place? Ridiculous.
Yeah, ain't it?
I don't want to appear egotistical, Miss Revere, but if Ben Gibbs gives a speech, it just won't be the same thing.
Want a bet?
I don't mind a little competition. We'll both make speeches. I'll speak first, and after I get through, I'll give the floor to Gibbs.
You won't have to give it to him. It'll probably come right up and hit him.
Well, I dare say you're right. If Gibbs desires to make a fool of himself with the speech after I'm finished with mine, let him.
No, but Mr. Edwards, a speech by Mr. Gibbs means money in the bank for the orphanage.
Yeah, my speech will mean money in the bank, too. The attractive Mrs. Hargreaves is bound to be impressed by my stirring address.
Attractive? Mrs. Hargreaves attractive? Do you hear that, Jerry?
Yeah.
Why, I've seen better looking heads than hers at a glass of stale beer.
Oh, you women, all alike, always jealous.
Oh, but Mr. Edwards, Mr. Gibbs is all ready to make that...
Oh, skip it, Jerry. Mr. Edwards is gone for Mrs. Moneybags, hook, line, and speaker. So that's how it is, Mr. Gibbs. We tried our best, but Mr. Edwards insists on making that speech.
Well, I guess that washes me up.
But, Ben, can't you forget yourself and try to realize that this is for orphans? And maybe with Mr. Edwards making a speech, they could take in maybe another $50,000.
So what? If it's just a case of money, I'll be willing to double my donation.
Give $100,000?
Only on the condition that I make that opening speech.
Well, you just made yourself a deal, Mr. Gibbs. Jerry and the kids are going to be waiting on tables tonight. I got a plan. Of course, it might make Mr. Edwards see red.
I'll raise my donation to $150,000.
Put on your rose-colored glasses, Mr. Edwards. You're seeing red tonight.
How are me and the fellas doing, Miss Revere? Everything worked out like you planned?
Yeah, Jerry. Now hold the next course here in the kitchen for a little while longer than the others.
Oh, gosh, Miss Revere, I'll never forget the look on Mr. Edwards when I tripped serving him the shrimp cocktail. Was he embarrassed?
Yeah, I noticed his face turned red.
Oh, that was from the cocktail sauce.
Oh, well, you're doing swell, fellas. Now, all we got to do is irritate Mr. Edwards a little more, and he'll leave immediately for that fishing trip without giving his speech.
Yeah, then Mr. Gibbs will take over, and the orphanage will be richer by $150,000.
Wow. Gosh, I can't wait till we get to serve the iced tea. Gee, I hope I don't make a mistake and drop it down Mrs. Hargrave's front instead of Mr. Edwards' back like I did the wine.
Maisie, something awful has happened.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Gibbs, don't tell me you forgot your speech.
Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Straits of Singapore to the...
Not yet, Ben, not yet. What happened?
The after-dinner speeches.
Well, what about them?
They're not going to be after dinner. Edward says he's going to speak right now, so Mrs. Hargraves is starting right now.
Uh-oh. Well, fellas, I guess we got to use the last trick in the book. You remember, fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure, Miss Revere.
Mr. Gibbs and I have to get back to the banquet. You boys know what to do. Now, come on, Ben. You ready?
Oh, sure. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Straits of Singapore...
Not yet, Ben. Not yet.
Well, you returned just in time, Miss Revere. And you, too.
Don't you remember me, Melissa? I bought you Louis the 13th chair.
He was Louis 14.
Oh, all right, so he was one Louis away.
Now, if everybody will be seated and come to attention. Ladies and gentlemen.
Maisie, she stole my speech.
Oh, quiet, Ben. All speeches start that way.
Although our first speaker, Senator Hungerford, E. Clifton Hungerford, was unavoidably detained, we have been, shall we say, most fortunate in securing a wonderful, brilliant, charming personage, personally, to take his place.
Three cheers for Mr. Gibbs.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Straits of...
I beg your pardon. Mr. Gibbs is our second speaker, unfortunately. I was referring to that charming, brilliant personality, Elias J. Edwards.
Oh.
No. The applause was very flattering, but Mr. Edwards has to leave pretty soon, so please stop applauding.
To Mr. Edwards.
Sorry.
Quiet, everybody, quiet, quiet. Mr. Edwards is going to speak.
Don't speak very distinctly, Mr. Edwards.
Yeah, I was just clearing my throat.
Oh, do you have a cold?
No. Ladies and
gentlemen. Because if you do have a cold, my grandmother has a wonderful remedy.
I'm so glad. Ladies and
gentlemen. She always said salt air was good for a cold.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Of course, if you can't get salt air, you can wave a herring in front of your nose.
Hey, Miss Revere, please. Hey, now, ladies and gentlemen. From the...
Soup. Anybody want more soup?
Jerry, we finished our soup course.
But there's lots more left in the pot. I know, I just fell in there.
Boys, Mr. Edwards is about to speak.
Hey, thank you, Melissa.
Carry on, Elias.
Maisie, she never calls me Elias.
Well, maybe that's because your name is Ben.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I guess nobody wants soup. Jerry, come clear the plate.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What did you
say, Tommy? Ladies and gentlemen.
He said come clear the plate.
Ladies and gentlemen, come clear the plate.
But really, Mr. Edwards, we're not supposed to clear the plate. We're guests.
Except me. If you'll all excuse me, I'm going fishing. I have to catch a train.
What do you use for bait, Mr. Edwards?
Lack of breathing. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that Mr. Edwards did previous appointment with the piccolo. We're not really left in a piccolo. No, we have with us this evening
that charming, brilliant personality, Ben Gibbs.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Ben, get up.
Why?
Speech. Remember? This is your big chance to impress Mrs. Hargrave.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I beg your pardon. Is this the Militia Hargrave banquet for something or other?
Why, Senator Hungerford?
Hungerford?
Oh, goody, Senator. You're just in time. We're just starting the speeches. You can be first.
Well, how about me? I was just getting started.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Gibbs. You have to wait for the Senator to finish, and then you'll kill him with your speech.
Senator Hungerford, are you ready to speak?
Naturally. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, from the streets of Singapore to the snow-capped mountains of Alaska.
Please, that's my speech.
That was your
speech. From the desert sands of Arabia to the green glens of Scotland.
In just a moment, we shall return to the adventures of Basie.
And gave us a couple of hours of the great future plans of his political party and flew away again. Then came the surprise of the evening. Unannounced, Ben Gibbs got up and made a speech. Not the one he memorized, but he just talked. Ben knew what it was like to be an orphan. He was one himself. He knew how empty a kid's life could be without a dad to read him the comics on Sunday. No mother to dry his tears. At the end of his speech, Ben Gibbs said something I'll never forget. He said, "I'm a millionaire many times over. I've got more than anyone here, and I've got less than anyone here. I have no mother and father." Well, I've got to be on my way back home now. And see, don't you start complaining again. Something's got more trouble than you.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie was written by Arthur Phillips. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Elvia Allman, Sidney Miller, Frank Nelson, Frederick Warlock, Hans Conried, and Peter Lee. Jack McCoy speaking.